Brian here.
Yes, Brian.
I think to clarify, you want the committee to consult with the attorney, not the attorney to be a voting member of the committee, right?
That's right. So that it's sort of like the attorney has a committee of the relevant actors that he or she can work with around these cases, and thereby
right.
keeping him informed.
So let me propose specific language in the form of a substitute motion. We recommend that the Pacifica National Board form a litigation review committee charged with reviewing proposed settlements composed of 5 directors, the executive director, and the CFO.
May I respond?
Sure, Dave.
Yeah, you know, we've got a lot of committees, and the coordinating committee already has the CFO and the ED on it. It has 5 directors, plus it has the board officers on it. And, you know, rather than go through the rigmarole of setting yet another committee, I don't see why we just don't specify that'll be the role of the coordinating committee. And, I mean, if people want it to be a different committee, fine, but it's yet another bureaucratic thing, and to form the committee, we have to go through a lot. And I think what's being said about people participating is just as Brian said, it's not membership on the committee, it's the committee consults with, you know, the appropriate parties in the review of the case. But so that'd be my 2 cents. I'd prefer to just assign it to the coordinating committee.
Would the coordinating committee then have the additional function of reviewing pending settlements? Is that what you're thinking?
Exactly.
This is Jane.
Yeah, Jane.
Well, in light of those last 2 recommendations, I think it would be helpful to put this in, to get this motion out that the that we recommend that in addition to existing provisions for contract review, that the coordinating committee
review pending settlements.
Should review all pending settlements in consultation with the general counsel and any other parties as deemed necessary. Isn't that the point that someone was bringing up, that it is appropriate for the for additional members to be brought into that that group in specific cases? And that's not something that the coordinating committee normally does? Is that correct?
Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Lonnie, were you about to say something? I think that... Oh, go ahead. Well, I think...
Just adding to the coordinating.
I think we should move with the motion and just put it before the P&B and then discuss it there in terms of as this part of the coordinating committee, and then perhaps... we can amend it at the PNB. But I think that we should just move this out of the Finance Committee as we have it, and then we can have further discussion at the PNB level in terms of what the responsibilities are for the Coordinating Committee and the fact that this really critical issue has been totally overlooked. In fact, it was like, you know, almost disbelief that there were certain things were going on because there wasn't any attention paid to it. So, again, that's my recommendation. We just move it out. We can discuss it further at the PNB in terms of what the responsibilities of the coordinating committee are.
Brian, you want
this point of information? Is the coordinating committee a bylaw committee?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay.
This is Dave.
Yeah. It's a bylaw.
I have a different view of things. I want to take motions to the PNB that are as, you know, far along as possible, basically because of the way the agenda stacks up. And, you know, I'd like to spend less time on bureaucratic solutions. If there's some good reason why it should be a different committee, then let's deal with here. But I'd rather not punt on it and have it come back in that venue, just because it's a lot easier to deal with the different issues that are involved in a committee than it is at, when it comes time for a board meeting. So if there are problems, I'd like to deal with them here. That's my opinion.
Brian?
Well, sure. Go ahead, Brian.
And also
well, I think Jane basically nailed it with the language. You know, she addressed Dave's concern that we not create a redundant apparatus. She addressed Lonnie's concern and your concern, LaVarne, that review of proposed settlements not slip through the cracks, that they make it explicit whose job it is to review them. And it sounds like the coordinating committee structure already accommodates consultation with all the parties that Lonnie said should be consulted with. I think we should just move Jane's most recent language.
I can read it.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay, Hicks, with amendments by others, moves that the Finance Committee recommend that in addition to existing provisions for contract review, the Coordinating Committee will review all proposed legal settlements in consultations with General Counsel and others as deemed necessary.
I have a question.
Yeah, Dave.
That's the oversight and review process. What we're essentially saying, if I understand correctly, is that there is still the existing procedure for actually finally approving things, which involves the ED making a decision and the recommendation to the committee, and then the committee reviews whether or not the full board should review before it's executed. Alternatively, we could put something else in there that said, for example, the PNB must approve all legal settlements. The full PNB must approve all legal settlements.
Question?
It might not be the worst idea at all. I mean, I kind of like having that in there.
Question?
Sure, Jane.
When we say, Dave, when we say in addition to existing provisions for contract review and approval, does that, didn't we cover all of that in our contract policy?
The reason it doesn't is because the structure of it was designed to basically facilitate the ED from going ahead with contract, not requiring board action every single contract, but have a mechanism by which the coordinating committee is looking at it, and the coordinating committee is 10 people. But if there's a problem or if the committee thinks there's a problem, it sends it to the full board. So what this is saying is in the specific case of contracts, the settlement agreements, that's not an option, that it actually must go to the full board and be approved before execution.
So in addition to existing provisions for contract review and approval, that the coordinating committee should review all proposed legal settlements in consultation with the general counsel and others as deemed necessary, and furthermore, that approval in cases of litigations will always be brought to the PNB for approval?
No, where you started with then furthermore, just put a period and say all legal settlements must be approved by the full PNB.
And furthermore, all legal settlements must be approved by the PNB?
I wouldn't do in furthermore, but again, it's stylistic. I would just put a period and then say all legal settlements, but whatever you want.
Well, it's because it says in addition to existing provisions for contract review and approval, or just say contract review.
This is LaVarne. See, I think the motion has just become kind of like, you know, we're referring something to a coordinating committee. That's the finance committee. You know, I mean, we can, from the PNB, we can actually send things to the coordinating committee or assign responsibilities. But we've identified an issue that we had a procedure in the past to address this. And again, I think this is tight enough to say, you know, this issue hasn't been addressed, and that, you know, whether we go to this litigation committee or just keep it in finance, that, you know, I think we need to move that. We've identified the issue, and it's not been addressed, and I think we need to, it's tight enough to just move on, then recommend this to the PNB. I don't think the finance committee really has the responsibility to say, okay, we're going to assign this to the coordinating committee. So I think that, you know, our recommendation would be, again, to say that, you know, this litigation committee, we move it to the PNB, and they'll say, well, okay, we'll assign this to the coordinating committee in terms of contracts, because from what I recall in terms of assigning contract review to the coordinating committee, I don't recall the in terms of the clarity for why that would happen, other than I guess that's a task that needs to be done, and perhaps it wasn't being done. But why the coordinating committee would actually have the resources other than working with staff to even, like, address these issues or why they would address it. But I think that it's clear that this litigation committee that had actually worked in the past and worked favorably, I think that we should just go ahead and address it, move it as that, and then if we think that we can, at the PNB, we need to just throw that at the coordinating committee, I think it would be fine. But I don't think that that's something that we can actually assign out of finance at this point.
Motion?
Yes, please.
I had
about
one
30 minutes ago.
I'm sorry. This is what I had out there, Lonnie, is Gatewood moves that the Finance Committee recommend that in addition to existing provisions for contract review, that the Coordinating Committee review all proposed legal settlements in consultation with General Counsel and others as deemed necessary.
Well, at this point, I'm feeling like I can see the points for a coordinating committee assignment, but I can also see the points for the litigation committee. So I guess at this point, if it's protocol, I would move that we agendize this issue for our next meeting.
Thank you.
And then take it from there and move the agenda at this point. We can still have the discussion at the 18th meeting, and then if it seems appropriate that we can come up with something next to go forward, fine. If not, we merely mention as a discussion item for the PNB and not try to force a round hole into a square peg, you know.
Point of information?
Yes. Jay.
Is the motion, Lonnie's motion, postpone the item till the next Finance Committee meeting?
Yeah, to the 18th.
Okay.
Brian here?
Sure, Brian.
Well, if the only point of contention is whether it's the coordinating committee or litigation committee, could we just recommend that they assign that responsibility to either the coordinating committee or a separately created litigation committee?
I think we've already moved on it, Brian. Is it still open for discussion?
Everything's open for discussion endlessly in committee.
I thought Lonnie had moved that we move it to the 18th.
Yeah, should you take a vote on it?
Motion to postpone.
Yeah, vote on it before.
To postpone. Yeah, there's a motion to postpone. Yes. So are there objections to postponing?
Yeah, I object.
Okay, so please.
I feel like we've been working on it for a while. We've made some progress. It's moving toward a consensus. I don't want to start from scratch in a week when we have other work to do. This is what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to workshop stuff, kick it around.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
And then give it to the board.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so, Jane, can we vote?
Sure. Yeah, you want a roll call vote?
Yes. Well, that's the only way.
All righty.
Are we done talking about it?
I think that the question is whether... I don't know what the question is.
Same here, Jay. The motion is to postpone because I think we're in a little loop here.
So this is a motion to postpone this till next week's meeting.
Yes.
And I'm going to call a roll call. Adelson? So a vote of yes will postpone this motion until next week. A vote of no will continue talking about it. Adelson? Bediaco? Hello?
Hello, yes, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is anybody there?
Hello?
Can you hear me? All who are muted, please unmute.
Hello?
Okay.
Sorry.
Baruti?
Hi. How you doing? Okay. It's Baruti. Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Sounds like we're pretty close. I'm going to vote no.
Okay. Edward Steekert?
No.
Gatewood? No. Hicks?
Yes.
Goodman?
No.
Williams?
Yes.
Tuffley?
No.
Adelson?
I get two votes. Yes, no this time. No,
no. I didn't hear you the first time, Dave. Could you just repeat whatever you want me to hear?
I'd like you to put me down for no twice, please.
No. Okay, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 N's and 2 Y's.
Okay, so it's open for continued for discussion.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I like the, I think it was Brian's suggestion that I think we're all in agreement with, the only disagreement seems to be which committee to refer it to. So I like the suggestion that we suggest to the board that they consider one of those two committees handling it. And I think we can say we've done our job.
This is Dave.
Sure, Dave.
The reason that I don't agree is just that it's going to take the board time, but the board will have to then say yay or nay, but whatever. That discussion will happen anyway. So, my personal preference is out of committee. The committee majority recommends what action that thinks should be taken, but I'll yield to the group if it takes that to dispense with it. I think we could easily recommend that it go to one or the other, and then the board could choose the other, but it's just not worth fighting about. Let's go.
This is Jane. I think I might have language.
Yes, go ahead, Jane.
We move that in addition to existing provisions for contract review, that the PNB assign responsibility for review of all proposed legal settlements to either the coordinating committee or a special litigation established for this purpose, acting in consultation with general counsel and others as deemed necessary.
Actually, this is Dave.
Yes.
The one thing I realize is, well, if you're specifying existing procedures, then what you're essentially saying is if you created a litigation committee, then it would have to go before both that committee and the coordinating committee, and we still haven't said the board needs to approve it. So I guess I'm going to say that it should go to the coordinating committee, and that I'd also like to amend it that any legal settlement must be approved by the full board.
This is Jane.
Yes, Jane, please.
I would like to speak in favor of what Dave just said, because I think it's very important that we not encourage another. Since this structure is already set up, there are so many different committees in this network that it's like a Gordian knot, I think that we've really covered the basis very clearly, and I'm not exactly sure. I mean, basically, the last sentence that Dave just proposed is that all legal settlements should be approved by the full board. I agree with what Dave said. I think that we need to make a clear recommendation to the PMB and move on, and that this is the clearest way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure. Oh, this is Lauren. Just quickly, I'm not sure what our language is when we the motion on the general counsel in terms of settlements and what we've done. I feel like you said, and plus in the executive sessions, and what we have actually the motions that have come out of there concerning settlements. But Dave, if you don't recall that we don't have a motion any place that says the board must approve a settlement. Sure, that definitely should be.
Not.
Well, that definitely should be added. Okay, Terry.
Yes, I like the idea of referring to the coordinating committee, but I believe that the motion on contracts already sets enough protection as to when the board needs to review and approve and when not. So I move to separate the final sentence out from the motion.
Sorry, you'd like to separate what part of the motion?
The requirement for PMB approval.
Point of personal privilege?
Sure.
I need to leave the call. I need to leave the call, so I'm going to beg off. I'd like to make one point. In the discussion of the CFO's preliminary audit report, the one thing I hope is addressed is that he says that we've added to working capital from 1.8 million to 2.8, but he elsewhere says that we had last year a one-time, or we had 1.3 million in high donor donations or in bequests, I think it was. And so the question was, does that mean that overall we fell backwards $300,000 if you pull that out? So that's the first half. And the second half is how much of those bequests are unrestricted versus restricted. And with that, I have to go. Thank you, everybody.
Sure. Thank you. Okay, so we're on the motion where Terry is that we should pull out where we said that the PNB should approve all legal settlements.
Yeah, it might be a small claims court settlement or something. $50, the PNB shouldn't have to look at that.
I'm sorry, your voice is garbled. Would you repeat that, please?
The PNB should not have to approve a $50 small claims settlement by Pacifica.
Oh, yeah, so a certain dollar. See, we have in the Finance Committee, we have motions in there in terms of anything above. Well, we have to review certain things above if there are changes from budget or anything that's beyond a certain level. We had said it 10% spending or in the budget that has to be go to the Finance Committee and also be approved there. So all of these motions, I guess what we need to do is we need to come with all of the finance motions clearly so we can refer to these where there's some of these things are covered. But, legal settlements of a certain dollar amount that you want to
– this is Jane.
Did you entertain – yeah, Jane. Well, let me just ask you, would you entertain, like, a certain amount?
No, I think there's sufficient protection in the contracts resolution already adopted so that we don't need to send everything to the PMB. Let the coordinating committee decide.
Okay, go ahead. We need to move on this. So, any objection I might have, I will take. I will remove, and we just need to move. Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Should I go ahead? So
yes,
I think that if we say, in addition to existing provisions for contract review and approval, that the coordinating committee should review all proposed legal settlements in consultation with the general counsel and others as deemed necessary, I think that we're covering the fact that the PMB is going to have to approve anything over a certain dollar amount.
Exactly.
And if the PMB wants to, if Dave or somebody else can explain why it needs to be specified beyond what the contract policy already says, then the PMB can modify. This is just our recommendation, right? I mean, the PMB can modify it any way they want, right?
If it's not specified, I think it definitely needs to be because, again, all of the things that there are constantly issues that are brought up in the PNB, again, that seem to be a surprise. So if we just go ahead, I think, and address this one issue and just move on that, and then we can look at what the motion, the resolution is for the coordinating committee. We can get pull that motion, and then we can look at that to see exactly what it specifies in terms of contract levels.
So can we just approve the first part of this, and then that add-on sentence is a separate matter?
Yeah, Terry made a motion to divide, so they'll be considered separately.
Does anybody have any? Okay.
Go ahead.
So then the motion is still it hasn't been. It's basically the motion on this table is still on. Does anybody want to go for a ride here? Okay. The motion on the table is that we recommend that in addition to existing provisions for contract review and approval, that the coordinating committee should review all proposed legal settlements in consultation with general counsel and others as deemed necessary.
Okay. Is there any change in that?
No, I think that's fine. That's succinct and to the point.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Are there objections to this motion? So moved. Thank you. Is there any other questions, Jane? Do you have that?
No, I got that.
Okay, great. Okay, so shall we move to the next one?
Dave Crossley can't point out that the motion divide leaves his last sentence as something we have to decide whether we want to include or not.
I think that what we did is we moved actually when you divided the motion. Okay, so we took the first half, the first part of it. So the motion that, so should we just postpone the motion as far as the PNB approving any legal settlement?
Yeah.
We have to deal with it before we move the main motion on.
So, shall we? The motion is that we should the PNB must approve any legal settlement.
I'm ready to vote.
Ready.
Okay, you're ready to vote versus to, since Dave isn't here to further explain. Well, you know, I thought it was pretty straightforward, but I would like to postpone on this one too, because I would like to see what the coordinating committee, the motion really looks like in terms of what the responsibilities are. And the other reason is that the experience has been is that settlements have been made, but I don't think it was. Well, maybe just let me think about it for a while. We were notified of the settlement, and I think maybe there was a vote taken on the settlement. Lonnie, can you help me on this one? The last settlement. I mean, we were notified. We were told about it, and that was the best decision.
That was the general counsel does notify the board in executive session, does tell what the expenses are likely to be. So I think that's his job, and that we do have a mechanism for notifying the board. And so I'm comfortable with that. Besides, I do think that if you have the details of a settlement to be discussed in detail at a board meeting, it get, you know, as opposed in an approval context, as opposed to a recommendation from our corporate counsel, the general counsel, those are two very different processes, you know. One of them is a full board. I don't think we ever voted so much on these settlements as, did we ever vote on the settlement?
I believe we were just notified. We were notified in terms of, I mean, we have a legal counsel. That's why we thought we have it. So they would recommend the best action to take. And we just did not object, or their action was assumed that this was the best action for the foundation. But I can't recall they're actually going to vote.
Yeah, it is, you know, what do you do? The board were to vote on each individual settlement, it could be, you know, a long, long meeting.
Okay, so we want to vote on this? Okay.
I have a point of clarification.
Sure.
I know that Terry moved to separate, but we were discussing all this so formally, I didn't know that Dave's comment was actually a motion to amend. I didn't ever hear it as a substitute motion. I just heard it as discussion. So I don't really know that we can't consider these separately.
So you don't, in your notes,
it as a motion. I didn't have that as a substitute motion. I just had it as, I was just counting that as part of our conversation back and forth. So I don't know if we have to adhere strictly to that rule about having to, have to approve this. Deal this second item before we can send the first item, you know, to the main motion. Do we have to follow that exact procedure, even though it was all somewhat informal.
So,
and it was not an official motion, a substitute motion on the table that introduced that second phrase.
Well, you're the keeper of the motion.
Well, that's
of
my
the
point. Is that I don't have anything
heard.
About the
right.
I didn't have anything about it, so I don't think it matters. But
yeah, because when I discussed it, I said it was a good idea. So I can't recall. So Terry, you recall it as being part of the motion.
I heard Dave say that twice, so it was pretty clear to me that he wanted to amend the motion on the floor to include that language, but I would not object if the chair ruled otherwise.
How does the general body feel about this? Do you think that it was a Dave intended it as a motion? We need to go ahead and consider it this. This division, dividing of the motion by Terry, and then we can go ahead and vote on this in order to resolve this before we actually vote on the main motion.
Yeah, point of order.
Sure.
My motion to divide would have been out of order if it was not an amendment on the floor, and that's what I think that we have to deal with it.
Okay. Okay, fine. Jane, Terry,
well,
Terry
is this in the interest of moving our meeting along, I would like
yes.
to ask the chair to schedule this part two of this motion, this related motion from Adelson. I would like to ask that you rule that you previously
go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know what I'm trying to say. I would like to ask the chair that you consider this, that you rule this is actually a separate motion, related motion, and that we can handle it our next meeting.
That was what I initially said a long time ago. We would postpone this. Since Dave left the call, he's not there. He's not here to really discuss it. So then, I will do as you suggest. I rule that it was a separate but related motion, and that we will consider this motion when Dave is available at next week's meeting. Is there an objection? Thank you very much.
Maybe Jane could just read our consensus reality back to us, so we.
A second, okay, after initial motion by Hicks and various amendments, Gatewood moved that the Finance Committee recommend that in addition to existing provisions for contract review and approval, that the Coordinating Committee review all proposed legal settlements in consultation with General Counsel and others as deemed necessary. This motion was approved without objection. A second related motion by Adelson that the PNB approve all legal settlements was postponed until next week's meeting.
Okay. Are there objections? Okay, there. I think we said okay. So thank you. And the main motion again is that you want to read that again. I think we had actually.
No, we already approved it.
Well, as Terry said, well, the process is that we should have taken care of that before then. So, but we have approved it. So, does anyone object to us going back, redoing it, or do we feel that we've approved the meeting, the motion, and we can move forward? Thank you. Okay. So briefly, the archive restoration amendment, I had an action on that, and that was to talk to Brian DeShazers, and I spoke to him this afternoon, and I need to get with one of the makers of the original motion. Probably I'll talk with Rip Robbins to talk more about the alternative to asking money from each one of the stations, the $35,000 and $25,000 from each station, and that we had talked about the major fundraiser that we would do where the archives would be the banner reason for doing the fundraiser. And that's one of the ones that a group is currently working on, and this is off-air fundraising. And that, again, I would need to talk to one of the makers of the motion. I'll try to talk to Rip Robbins and see about the timing, because this major fundraiser probably will not happen until September, so the funds probably will start coming in the fiscal 09, and that's, I believe, it's consistent with the original motion for archive to fund the archive restoration. So are there questions? Thank you. Okay. Delaney, are you there?
Lonnie here.
Yeah, okay. So can we move to the next section, the CFO report, and a time change? You know, that there's like a, I don't know what's happening. Every so often it's like everything goes blank for a second and then comes back on. But it's currently 7:16, so the CFO report, Lonnie, can you just go over quickly what you do have to present and perhaps what you think that we can present further on next Thursday?
Well, you have for me two reports. One is the CFO report, and that is concluding the FY06 audit. And it also is a financial report for the month of November. Now, the CFO report is an extensive document. It, I don't know, it's 14 pages long, but mostly charts and pretty pictures. And if I think that's important for us to get a head start on, because we will, in some respects, asking the board to approve an audit at some point. And knowing what's in it from the Finance Committee might be important. We'll have the auditor at the January board, and he will be able to answer questions. And the final audit will be ready in February. But we would be asking approval of a finalized audit, draft audit, at this board meeting. But it won't change much. He's promising that the audit he'll present in 2 weeks will be the final one. So things are sped up this year in order to get the audit done and not have to wait until February. And to do that, we took on more work in the finance department to before the auditor came. Now, if I can, the report is before you, but for the benefit of those that don't have it, let me just, if I could, take 10 minutes on the audit, 10 minutes on the November financials.
Okay.
The way your report is organized on the audit is I have a report that compares the FY05, a full FY04 audit, the FY05 audit, and the FY06 audit. And on page one,
just a second, can I ask a question? Does everyone have that? If you have access to a computer, do you have that in front of you?
This is Jane. Just a point of clarification.
Sure.
Lonnie, could you just give a quick overview before you go into the details? Just a summary of what we're going to try to cover tonight, and then what we might want to deal in more depth on next week.
Yes, you know, I think it's important to go over the audit actually this week because that's an action item for the board. And then do the October-November financials next week if we need to save time. That would be my preference if that works for you folks.
That's what he just said, Jane. But that's okay. That sounds fine because you said you would take about 10 minutes on each, and that would take us to about 7:45 or so.
Yeah.
And that would be a good time unless there's more.
Yes, I did these reports with charts and in advance, and it will be in the board packet, hard copy, so it will be available too. But let me just say that what's happening with the audit, this is for fiscal year FY06 ending September 30th, 2006. For those that don't have the audit report, it begins with an analysis of revenue over the last 3 years and with our draft FY06 numbers. And I'll just read it. Listener support and donations in FY04 were $13,022,000. FY05, the listener support donations was $13,710,000. FY06, audit $13,774,000. That is to say, between FY05 and 06, our listener support donations only went up $64,000, or, you know, 0.5%. Grants were up $273,000 between FY05 and 06. Community events were down, went down from $487,000 to $440,000. But in the other income section, revenues were up $784,000, quite impressive. That's a 92% increase. That is going from, in FY05, $847,000 in other income to $1.6 million in FY06. Why is that?
Excuse me, Lonnie. I'm sorry, but the numbers you're stating are not what I see in this report for FY06. But go ahead. I see 1.4 for other income.
1.4.
1401.
Really?
Yeah. Just go ahead then. Go ahead. I'm just assuming that's what I see here. But
Dawn.
I'm seeing one.
Oh, Dawn, we wouldn't want that to happen. That's probably
because of
an audit.
Huh?
That's probably because of an audit adjustment, but I will go with what I have. It's not going to change. Let me just say, there's 1.4, what you have?
I have FY06. I have 13, the same 13,759, 2187, 440.6, 1401 for 18,105.
Yeah, I bet the auditor made some reclassifications, which I updated.
Okay.
Are you looking at the income statement for FY06?
Who?
Are you looking
Lonnie?
At the income statement for FY06?
Yeah, he's just given different numbers. Yeah, I mean, it's the same.
Yeah, well, that's because
of
the
report document report. But his note indicates that they include things like Katrina.
Yes, he's throwing in Katrina and other income.
Which are pass-through things that didn't, I don't think, hit our income statement.
It's there in the draft audit when you see it.
Okay.
It'll be
so
there.
This is total Pacifica. I'm sorry.
Yes, total for Pacifica. So what we're seeing is that revenues on this report are flat, and that's been offset by donations. Revenues from the listeners are down and flat, and other income is up by over $1 million. And that means that we are having to compensate off their revenue. And on the one hand, that's very good. On the other hand, it's not so good if we're losing listener support. Now, my numbers show basically that 2 years ago, Pacific had 1 million listeners. Now it looks like around 782,000 listeners. It's not happening just to us. It's happening to all of radio as well. But we have had an ability to resist that downward trend, and it looks like it's getting more difficult for us to resist it as well. Gross salaries, going on the expense side, salaries are relatively flat, only up about 1.5%. Why is that? How is that? It's because we've had salary reductions at a couple of stations, and we've held the line on salaries. Outside services, the expense is down, and some of that's coming from accounting I mentioned before. And in my narrative, I go into the detail. Depreciation is down. Means we purchased less capital items or less over the course of the year. Legal expenses are up $325,000. And we know the reasons that is the case. Board meeting expenses are down $55,000 because we did find some cheaper ways to do the board elections and saved, I think, in the area of $35,000-$40,000 in doing so. Premiums always up over budget, up $110,000 or 10%. Premium control and controlling the cost of premiums continues to be an issue at most stations. Total expenses are up over $400,000. In that area. My narrative basically says the same old story that we've been seeing all along, that this last fiscal year shows a surplus that would reach $1.6 million. And it's the second highest profit total, or I should say excess revenue total, in Pacifica's history. But nice. The proviso is that $1.3 million of that came from one-time gifts that may not be replicated in any other year, not to mention FY07. Without those gifts, that $1.3 million in gifts, we would be in the neighborhood of $500,000 in a surplus. Now, that sounds like a lot, but it is not, because we need $1.5 million just in the very next month to pay our bills. So $500,000 is not a great number for us. We need a minimum of $800,000 or $900,000, preferably $1 million, and then we can sort of squeak through. So the good news is that we had remarkable good fortune in FY06, and this audit will show those numbers. But it was due to one-time items that may or may not be replicated in FY07. And when we look at FY07, we see that is likely. At least for the first 2 or 3 months, we don't have any large gifts. We are still, we don't know whether that will change or whether it will remain the same year. So congratulations are in order. The balance sheet looks great. The revenue is flat, but despite that, the bottom line goes up, and that's due to these large gifts of $1.3 million. The balance sheet shows that as well, that these are receivables. Some of these gifts are cash, and some of them are merely restricted items that cannot in fact be used in operations. Now, what also is in this report is a 17-year history for each station of their surplus deficits over those 17 years and their listener support. I'll just finish going through quickly each one of the highlights. The Pacifica Foundation as a whole in FY06 is $1.6 million, second highest in its history. In Pacifica as a whole, in terms of listener support and donations, the figure is $14.5 million. Last year was $13.7 million. KPFA, 17-year history, KPFA's surplus deficit, $423,000. They had $700,000 or more in gifts. So $423,000 of it shows up in the bottom line. That would be about an average for the last year for Pacifica. I mean, for KPFA. The listener support goes from $4 million to $4.3 million. Listener support donations, remember the donation parts of it, are the ones that are driving the numbers for KPFA. You move on to KPFK, shows a deficit of $21,000 in terms of surplus. Last year, it had a surplus of $140,000, and the year before, a deficit of $42,000. Listener support for KPFK up from last year from $3.1 million to $3.2, up about $100,000. Moving on to KPFT, surplus showing $82,000. Last year was $64,000, the year before $106,000. Listener support for T up from $1.2 million, flat $1.2 million to $1.2 million, roughly a difference of $8,000 between the 2 years. Move to WBAI, listener support, 05, $2.8 million, 06, $2.7 million, 752, down $100,000 or so. WBAI surplus deficit, last year, 121, negative. This year, probably 123, although we have one more adjustment that has to be done for that station. But it will be in the area 125 to 133, negative. So WBAI still struggles with that deficit. Last of all, we have WPFW, listener support, 17-year history, there in those charts. They're relatively flat. Last year, $1.6 million. 06 will be $1.6 million. WPFW surplus deficit, $144,000 last year. This year, $169,000, up roughly $20,000-$25,000. National office, last year, $452,000 surplus. This year it'll be $1.1 million. Why? We raised money, $600,000 in gifts, and we raised $600,000 in mail drops. So you end up with the $1.1 million. Donations for the National Office, 17 years. History, last year $833,000. This year it'll be $1.3 million in donations coming, driven by the mail drops and the gifts. That is a quick look at the audit. The auditors will be in to go over the detail at the January meeting. And what would I say? It's a summary you've all heard me repeat it so often. We still suffer from having to work very hard in terms of maintaining even the current levels of listener support. Stations have had to increase the days for their drives. We're just beginning January, Sharon, and that was the case for last year. Now, when you look at this year, that is the first 2 months. We don't have 3 months. December is not ready yet. It'll be ready February 5th. But for the first 2 months of this fiscal, October and November, we see that trend continues. That it's very difficult raising money on the air in there's a need to continually look for off-air fundraising. Are we in financial crisis? As you can see from my October-November narrative, which is in the email, some stations are going to have to dip into their savings in order to balance those budgets. So I will identify three or four stations in this category. You have for KPFA, which will have to utilize its savings because it's got some unanticipated bills, mostly legal. I'm talking now this fiscal, FY07. KPFK will dip into its savings as well, somewhere in the neighborhood of $200,000 to balance its budget this year. WBAI has support up to that $200,000 level, and if you take away that, you see the station's level, and they have to have a plan, as we have said here on finance, to look at that figure and look toward not needing support to the $200,000 level. You look at KPFG, that station does have support to $100,000. So you look at those figures and keep that in mind as you're looking at them in terms of this fiscal. So that would be a quick summary. And I'll answer questions if folks have questions. But that's how we're looking on both the audit and in the October-November report. Was that 10 minutes?
Yes, that's good. Are there questions?
Comments?
Sure, Terry.
Yes, thank you for that excellent report. Can I get a copy? And what can I share with the audit committee?
Oh, I'm sorry, Terry. I didn't know you were on the list. Can I send you something now?
Yes, please. I won't get it until tomorrow, but can I share what you send with the audit committee?
You know what? Your voice is totally breaking up. What did you say about the audit committee?
He asked if he can share this with the audit committee. What part of this report can he share with the audit committee?
All of it.
Are you referring to your local audit committee?
No, the PNB audit committee. I'm a departing member of that.
You can't be
a national.
Well, he's a departing member.
Oh, okay.
And once you go on finance, right? Once you go on finance, then you're along on audit.
I announced that at the audit committee meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, I just sent you a copy of these two reports.
Thank you, Ryan.
And put your name on the finance committee list. Okay.
Okay.
One last comment. A little doom and gloom here. Well, what's the finance committee without a little doom and gloom for me?
I'm sorry. Did someone else have a question or comment? Oh, go ahead, Lonnie. I'm sorry.
I just had one other fact. That if you look at October, November, remember this report has the current month. It has the YTD, that is the 2 months or whatever month we're in, report. It also has a forecast where I forecast, based on the first 2 months, how we'll look, I think, at September, at the end of the fiscal. It also has a cash and capital section, which for some new people, I'll certainly do it for the new board members, about what that is and how we got to it here at Pacifica. But I wanted to point out that if we, this report as an income statement report, is before depreciation, and that after depreciation, the number you might see at $840,000 on projection, you would take about $400,000 and deduct for depreciation expense. That means that this year we will be looking at $400,000 rather than $800,000. Remember, depreciation is not something we have budgeted in. So the income statement looks at $800,000, but when the auditors come in, they will subtract depreciation expenses. And we will, on audit, have a surplus $400,000, $450,000, unless there's some gifts, a large gifts, and that number will, of course, go up. So a very different look for FY07 than it was in FY06, at least at this point with 2 months gone in this fiscal.
Okay. So are there questions, comments? So let me ask, I have a question. So, Lonnie, what are we... I mean, what are you recommending to the ED and to the GMs, and also specifically with WBAI? I mean, what are we recommending in terms of discipline and to make people aware of where we are compared to last year?
Yeah, well, that's a tough one. I think that if I go through it station by station, well, in my report, which is, you see in this report, I don't have a summary or recommendations. I will have those at the PNB meeting in a couple of weeks. But right now, what's looking like to me is that our policy on finance, say for KPFA, is that they look out for next year's budget and start to replace some of the savings that it looks like they'll be utilizing to pay off some of the unexpected expenses. I think that is something they are aware of and they need to look at in any event. And we have a policy covering those items, that is, where a station is clear will not meet the 1 month proviso. We have said on finance that station should produce a plan that was in the next fiscal over, I think it's 18 months, where they would pay back and refurbish their reserves at the rate of one half of 1 month per year. That would be something I think KPFA should look at, because they will probably use some of their reserves. For KPFK, I think that's a similar recommendation, because they went to a negative deficit this year, $21,000. I mean, they will have to go into their savings. They have about $300,000 in savings and reserve. And they, too, will likely fall under that proviso of looking to plan to refurbish that reserve. WBAI is up for a recovery plan review. I think that we said that we would look at a status report in the month of January, and I'm suggesting that we get the status report at the 18th meeting. How do things stand? What's the plan? How's it looking? And what management believes is going to be possible, given the plan that's already in place. And we have been in contact with people at WBAI, looked over their recovery plan. Much of it they can't control themselves. It's not like a recovery plan is out of control, in the sense that all the stuff is doable. And some parts of it are being worked on and moving forward. So I think that report should come to us, just a status report, at the 18th meeting. That would be my request, at least. WPFW is in pretty good shape. They opened the year up with $400,000 cash, and they look pretty good so far this year, although they did have trouble on their first drive, and they were not able to meet target on the first drive. KPFT, they have their actual surplus is around, let's take away the $100,000. Is about $40,000, $50,000, which is normal for them. But as they move through the year, their margins are small. So if they miss, a drive by $20,000, that existing figure will go down to break even or slip over to a deficit. So people are aware, but those what are seeing are the risks. Now, the last risk is legal. We have several cases pending, and depending on how expensive those cases end up being, or even the defending of the cases can be expensive. This is a wild card in this year's budget process. Don't know. Hard to say. I did talk with Dan Siegel. I said, give me a number. What do you think? And I can't mention his response here on the call, but some of it's covered, some of it's not. It's a risk.
Okay. All right.
Brian here.
Brian.
Looking at KPFK, you've got a $20,000 deficit in 06. You're projecting right now a $65,000 deficit in 07. Is this like a perfect storm of one-time expenses, or is there a structural operating deficit there that needs to be corrected?
Well, they've been playing it close to the margins, basically break even, and that means they've been using their savings to get through that September cash crunch. So, no, I would say at this point, they are looking in, they're having the dip into their savings. As you can see, if you're $60,000 in September, then how will you pay your bills in October? You'll have to use your savings or your reserve. So I would say at this point, it's, 50-60% structural. They do have some capital improvements they're looking to make. They get the roof fixed. They have some legal. And also, they had some expensive ductwork down there that cost $20,000. So yes, some parts of it is one-time expense. We could hypothesize it won't be there next year. But part of it was, as you can see, there already last year. And so it's carrying forward to this year.